Now you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hello. Today is our fourth sermon on gifts of the Spirit. I told my dad this morning. I said, we're looking at the gift of the Spirit. And he said, are you sponsored by Slingsby's? And I said, no, you've got the wrong spirit there, Dad. So for you gin lovers, sorry, this might not be for you. Today's reading is the second half of 1 Corinthians 12, the first of which Paul and Phil preached on last week. So if you missed that, absolutely go onto the website. You can listen to it. And hopefully you should be able to see some continuity between last week and this week. And this passage from Corinthians, I think, primarily deals with the why of these spiritual gifts. Why does God provide us with spiritual gifts? I feel like a lot of what we've looked at on spiritual gifts so far have really been about the what are they, or how do we know that we've got them. This is really going to be looking at why is it that we have, why do we have these spiritual gifts? And the answer to that comes directly from the body analogy, which I imagine most of us are familiar with already. I think I preached on it last year as well, around this time. So it's something that comes up quite a lot for us as Christians. But I think the main argument in this entire chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, can be summed up in verse 7, which wasn't a part of our reading, but in verse 7, it says this. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And I think that that one verse really encapsulates what the entire chapter is trying to teach us. So we'll start off by considering what Paul is actually saying about the body of Christ. With this in mind, that a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And through my research, a man called Brian Peterson, he's a theologian over in America, he says that the body is quite a common metaphor in the Roman world, which is obviously the world in which Paul was writing. So in this world, people quite often use a metaphor of a body to explain aspects of society. But often this would act as like quite a clear hierarchy. The body needs a head in the same sense that society needs a ruler. A body needs hands and feet for doing the dirty work, which in Roman society was basically everybody else. Okay, so the usual way that the people who'd be hearing what Paul was writing would be understanding as a body analogy would be that the body exists to serve the person who is in charge of you. It serves the ruler of that society. But Paul changes this. Paul shows us that the parts which may be considered weak are actually those that should have the most care. And it's striking that when he does this, he's not simply replacing the top with a new top. He's not saying, instead of the old head, we will have a new head and everyone will serve this new head. But he's actually reframing how we understand the body, with each aspect requiring unity, and this unity fundamentally being required to provide care for one another. So consider a time where you may have felt useless. We may have felt cast aside, ignored, unrequired, surplus to requirements. Like you knew you had something to give, but you felt like the position you were in wasn't the position to give it. This is what being weak would have been like in the city of Corinth at the time that Paul's writing. Those who were weak were those people who had gifts, but they weren't as valued as the gifts that other people may have had, the people who would typically have been the leaders of the church, who'd have typically been in charge. These people who were weak, who had these arguably less impressive gifts, were despised and shamed by the very church that existed for the glory of Christ. But Paul likens this to the dishonourable parts of our body. He makes a distinction between, he makes an analogy between the people who supposedly have these weak parts to the, quote, dishonourable parts of our body. And he notes that for those dishonourable parts of our body, they're the ones that we pay special attention to. They're the ones we cover up the most, right? The ones that we ensure are kept the safest. And in a similar way, that is what we are meant to do to these members of our church. We need to give members of our church who have gifts that may end up going ignored or cast aside, we need to give them special care. Really, really special care. Because it may feel that some parts of the body of Christ can often be dispensable, can often feel like they're not relevant. But what Paul is saying here is that that is completely wrong. They are, in fact, absolutely vital to the overall health of the body. And he points this out in verse 18. And he says this: God has put each part where he wants it. God has put each part where he wants it. Here Paul's expressing to the church that God has made this difference between each person, and that in this diversity, in this wonderful difference that we have between us, there is an opportunity for great unity and an opportunity for us to care for those who need our protection. As a body of Christ, we have Jesus at our head. And all aspects of the body has a specific purpose for that glory. And as it says, we've therefore been called to rejoice with those who are rejoicing and suffer with those who are suffering, as together we are one body. And this makes harmony amongst the members so that the members can care for one another. And the reason why we do that is because we have been called to serve one another. And we've been called to serve one another because Jesus came down to serve us. And if we, as the body of Christ, are a reflection of Jesus, we therefore have a responsibility to serve in the way that Jesus served. In verse 13, it says this: for in one Spirit we have been baptized, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Again, not Slingsby's. So we've all been baptized in this one Spirit. And the Spirit is what unites us. The Spirit is what keeps the body together. And the Spirit is therefore what provides us with our gifts. And so now we'll look at the importance of these gifts to the overall health, the overall well-being of the body. And the reason that the body analogy was so important to this church in Corinth was because in Corinth they often had a tendency to misrepresent the gifts that they were given. They were very competitive as a church. Those with impressive gifts often became quite proud. The speakers, the leaders, they became very proud of their gifts. Whereas those who had more pastoral gifts, to help individuals one-on-one, they were seen as more ordinary. And this led to a dichotomy between the two. People with impressive gifts became proud of those gifts. The people with the ordinary gifts became distressed and worried about, why do I just have these simple gifts when someone else has got something so amazing that can have such a huge impact? And therefore the latter is seen as weak. But obviously we know that if these gifts come from God, they're all impressive. There shouldn't be this distinction. And the misconception here is what Paul is trying to tackle. He says, when he says first apostles, second of all prophets, third of all teachers, he's not giving us a definitive ranking. He's not saying apostles are at the top, and then you've got the prophets, and then you've got the teachers, and then you've got everyone else. In fact, he's just using this terminology to refer to the gifts which are first needed to build up the church. Throughout the passage, he's actually showing how all of the gifts are required for a healthy church. Those first three are just the three you need to start a church. To keep the church going, you need all of them. You need all of them working together in unison. And he lists a number of gifts here, which we know is not exhaustive. Apostles, teachers, prophets, people who can perform miracles, healings, tongues, leadership. And then one of the ones he mentions, in my Bible, it says, those who help others, those who help others. And we know there are many, and they can all surprise us. Those who help others. Now, when I did the survey, I think we probably should be familiar with this survey that's been going around church, a survey of spiritual gifts to help us understand what are spiritual gifts. One of those is teacher. And I am a teacher. So I went into this survey thinking, well, obviously I will end up being the teacher. And the teacher was actually one of my lowest, which surprised me quite a lot. I thought, but I am a teacher. How can I not be a teacher if I am a teacher? And then I looked at the ones which I actually scored highly on. And the ones that I scored highly on were shepherd and mercy shower, which for me encapsulates that little part of the passage which Paul says, those who help other people, those that help other people, a shepherd and a mercy shower. And then I started to think about what I actually do in my job as a teacher. What is it that I actually do? And I read about what a shepherd and a mercy shower do, about how they guide people, about how they support people when they need it. And I realized, actually, that is what I do. That is what I do as a teacher. I don't teach in the way that the spiritual gift of teaching does, but I support and I encourage and I guide. And that was really quite powerful for me, because I realized that the gifts I've got, they're not for my benefit. They're not to make me feel good. They're to help the people around me. They're for the benefit of other people. And that's true for all spiritual gifts. The other night I read The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis. And just in the first chapter he says this, the proper aim of giving is to put the recipient in the position of no longer needing our gift. Sometimes we may feel when we've got a gift and we give a gift, we're doing it to make ourselves feel better. But that's not true. When we've got a gift and we're giving a gift, we're giving it for a reason. And that reason is other people, and to make other people have some benefit from what we're providing them. And so therefore, let us not make the mistake that our spiritual gifts are for us. Because Jesus hasn't given us our gifts for us. They're for the body. They're for all of us. And we have different gifts that work in different ways. But they all work for the same purpose. And that purpose is the glory of God. And we achieve that through helping others. We've been gifted these gifts to use them in a way that benefits others. And David Pryor says this, the body of Christ is placed in this world to serve. The body of Christ is placed in this world to serve. Just as Jesus came down to serve us, we remain here as Jesus' representatives to serve the world, to serve each other. And when we say that, it sounds very exciting and very easy to do. You know, great, fantastic. We'll just go out and we'll use our gifts and we'll make the world a better place. But we know that it's not that easy. We know that it's not that easy. Because there's times where we do feel how the lowly people in Corinth felt. There's times where we do feel weak. There's times where we feel surplus to requirements. Where we may feel misplaced. When we doubt our gifts. When we doubt our position in the body. And I experienced this early this year. Because as you know, I'm a teacher. But I felt, basically throughout this year, that I've been hit and hit and hit again with things that were really making me struggle to be a teacher, really making me struggle to use the gifts that I've got. And I didn't realise, actually, just how frustrated and how disheartened I'd become with teaching until I went on a school trip. And I went on a school trip to Teze. And I've mentioned Teze before. It's an amazing place. Teze's a little community. Well, it's not little. It's a huge community in France. And it's run by some brothers. And they have a very set structure of having 3 periods of silence each day. And they just invite people into their church to share in that. And that is how they worship. And it's absolutely wonderful. It's absolutely fantastic. And I really needed to go on that trip. I went last year, and I felt in the run-up, I don't need to go this year. This year it's someone else's turn. And I felt really quite strongly that God was telling me that somebody else needed to go. But when I went, and when I was there, and when I was working with these kids, and when I was using my gifts, when I was talking through problems with these young people, when I was encouraging them, when I was helping them to connect with Jesus, I realised that actually I needed to go there. That my position was in Teze at that point. And I realised that actually my position was at the school I'm at. That my position was being a teacher. And that whilst I may doubt myself and whilst I may feel a lack of connection with this job, God's put me here. And he's put me here for a reason. And he's put all of us in the positions that we are in. And it's so easy to feel disheartened. It's so easy to feel like we're in the wrong place. But God doesn't think that. If God didn't want you in that place, you wouldn't be there. And sometimes we can begin to resist our gifts, we can begin to resist our position and our role because we feel uncomfortable, because we're not happy with the way things are going. But we really need to remember that God is always with us when we're doing this, that God has put us in this position, and that when we work, we're working not for ourselves, not for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the body and for the benefit of other people. And that's so important. We need to remember that it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about the role that Jesus has provided us. God has put each part right where he wants it. He's put each part right where he wants it. And he's done that regardless, as if we understand this, or even if we like it. And towards the end of our reading, Paul says, God has placed each part where he wants it. God has placed each part where he wants it. And this is for the benefit of others. Sorry, towards the end of our reading, he actually says this. So you should most earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. And Paul's deliberately vague here, because he's already spoken through a variety of gifts. The people who are reading the letter to the Corinthians know that Paul knows a lot of gifts, and if he knew which was the most helpful, he would say them now. But that's exactly why he's being vague. He's not telling us specifically what is the most helpful gift, because the most helpful gift is not always the most helpful gift. It changes according to the position that you're in and according to the people that you need to connect with. The importance is not in desiring a gift which you see as the most helpful, but instead desiring the gift which God knows is the most helpful. Because we may not know which gift is the most helpful. We may not know which gift is the most helpful in our work, in our roles in church, in our home life. But God does. God always knows. And we are here to follow that as we discover where our place is in his body. David Pryor says, variety, unity, ministry. Variety, unity, ministry. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, we are made varied by God. We are united in following Jesus. And the Spirit supports our ministry. If the church is built, as Paul says, in the most excellent way, and this is, of course, to say, out of love for others, then each member can bring their own gifts and ask for more, and that is chiefly for the benefit of others. And why is this? It's very simply because Jesus has given us our spiritual gifts so that we can help one another in his name. So as we move forward, as we leave this church this morning, let us be praying that we will be able to welcome our gifts in a way to support those who need it. Because we have been given these gifts and we've been placed in the right place for the right reason to benefit others. And so I'd just like to finish off with just a brief moment of silence. I just want you to be thinking about, what is your gift? What is God calling you to do? Where is God calling you to go? How is God wanting to use you for the benefit of the body? So just have a moment of silence. Father God, we pray that you will use our gift today. We pray that you will use our gift tomorrow. And we pray that you will carry on to use our gift. We pray that you will guide us, that you will support us. And Lord, we earnestly desire that you will show us the most helpful gift. Because we can't do this by ourselves, but we can do it with you. Amen. Thank you.